This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, Georgie, check for Dadsy. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery free and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Leicester City have a penalty kick in the 6 minutes of injury time.
Knockout takes, Almunia saves, knockout follows in, Almunia saves again.
And now Watford are on the counter-attack.
Forestieri.
Oh, I don't believe this.
Here's Hawk. Deeney.
I do not believe what I've just seen. Troy Deeney has scored from a Leicester penalty that was saved by Almunia.
Do not scratch your eyes. Do not scratch your eyes. Do not scratch your eyes.
You're listening to the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast. I'm Justin.
I'm Carl.
And I'm Peter.
And joining us this time round for the opposition view, Fraser from Southampton FC News. How are you doing? All good?
Yeah, very good, thank you. How about you guys? You good?
Yes, well, two of us are good. One of us isn't feeling too well, so we're without Carlos this evening.
Carl,
so.
The weedy pigeon. We're trying to work out earlier whether or not he's still hungover from winning his award the other day, which is why he wasn't with us for the Ipswich one. And today he's left hanging, but who knows? We'll have to see whether or not he comes to the door and gives us some kind of forecast.
Was he at the football Saturday? Because I don't remember seeing him, and I haven't seen him actually.
I don't remember seeing him. I do wonder whether or not he hit it a bit hard on Friday, which, as we all know, Cole's had a month or two of hitting things pretty hard and not being somewhere at the weekend, so never mind. There we go. That was your first coma joke, by the way, Fraser. Don't worry, many of them will come along. Anyway, look, we've got Fraser here. Let's not talk about Carl, because he's a weedy pigeon and all of that. Let's talk about Southampton. Southampton. Everybody's sitting there going, he's going to mention Russell Martin, isn't he? He's going to mention Russell Martin. Nope. Last time we had, let's be honest, we talked about Nathan Jones, and that was a lot of fun. So this time, let's concentrate on the actual team, because, of course, we've already played you not once, not twice, but three times this season. Two draws, and a bit of a gubbing of us in the FA Cup. How has your season been going through all along under, yes, Mr. Russell Martin, sir? Give us an update.
Yeah, okay, so I'm allowed to mention him.
You can get away with it, don't worry.
Yeah. It's been a weird season because, look, it might sound very, very privileged position, obviously, coming down from the Premier League, but it's arguably a disappointing season, potentially, even though it sounds crazy given the fact we went on a 25-game unbeaten run between the end of September and start of February, but I think it's just since the international break, it was very much just after that international break, our game against Ipswich before that got postponed because of their FA Cup commitments. And then it was a bit of a right, all or nothing sort of end of season. Mm-hmm. Had two games in hand, still have two games in hand on two of the top three and one on the other. But one of those games in hand is Leicester away. And then it all just went a bit flat when we drew to Middlesbrough, lost to Ipswich, and then drew 0-0 with Blackburn on Saturday. And I think Russell Martin, for the first time now, has actually today acknowledged the fact that it is probably the playoffs and automatic promotions out of reach, whereas previously he was always very keen to push the agenda that we were still fighting for automatic promotion. Obviously, he can't say we've given up. He still said in his press conference, obviously, we want to win the 7 games and see where we are. He mentions today that it's about finding the right team, the right sort of mix of players and combinations for these 7 games, but with an eye on what is the team going to be in the playoffs. So it's been a good season. It's been enjoyable. I think most fans would agree that it's been nice, not nice necessarily, but it's been an enjoyable season in the Championship. There's been some good runs, obviously, very good runs. There's been some difficult defeats to take. I think the problem is that a lot of fans are having is with Martin is that obviously there's been a massive overhaul to how we play. He's very forthright in how he wants to play. But it almost feels like, from my perspective, the way we're choosing to play means you have to be perfect to win a game of football. Whereas I think Leeds, Leicester and Ipswich can get away with it a bit more because they have other strings to their bow, or they have potentially not so much Ipswich, but Leicester and Leeds in particular have players that can drag them out of sticky games. Whereas I'm not going to separate our squad. I'm very aware we have a very strong squad for the championship, and I'm not going to deny that or hide or shy away from that. But I think Leicester and Leeds in particular have players that are just that bit of quality more than us, and the way they play, more so Leeds and Ipswich, I would say, than Leicester. Leicester have quite a precise way of playing as well, but we almost have to be perfect to win. And on a few occasions, we haven't obviously been perfect. We've been punished. There's games which, looking back, not defined our season at the time, but drawing 1-1 at home to Rotherham is one in particular. We conceded late to a goal where the game was so simple in the first half, we were almost walking. Like, it was so easy. And that's when you know, as a Southampton fan, even from being in the Premier League and previous sort of years, when it looks like it's all going well, it's going to go horribly wrong very quickly. So, and I think the game away you guys in the league as well was 6 minute Reece Healy from a Bazunu howler.
Yes,
which aren't massively uncommon, unfortunately. He's a very young goalkeeper. He's very good with his feet, but he has cost us. And I wrote a thing the other day, but there's a stat that's emerged that he was, out of any goalkeeper in the Premier League last season, Bazunu, who played 8 or more games, Bazunu has the highest goals conceded compared to his expected goals conceded, if that makes sense. Yeah. I don't know how into all this XG and everything you guys are, but this season in the Championship, out of the 46 goalkeepers to play a game, he is 46th for goals conceded compared to goals expected to concede, which means he's let in over 11 more goals than he would be expected to let in.
Oh dear.
Which is not great. It's a lot of points here and there.
That means he'll be coming to Watford next season, I would imagine, as a replacement for Dan Backman. Sounds great, yeah.
Yeah, wonderful.
It was strange because that first game at our place, because obviously we played that in the first FA Cup game before coming down to St Mary's for the replay, and he played really well that game. Apart from, as you say, that 96-minute error. And it's one of those positions in goal whereby you can have a great 94 minutes, but you will always be remembered for the thing you get wrong in that position. And that's why Justin goes to Dan Backman or to whoever is involved. Because you remember the negatives. We've said before, you remember the relegations, Carlos remembers the promotions. That's the way it goes around here.
But it's true.
He'd look really something, we thought. And we were quite pleased with how I think we played against you. And we were quite surprised that, and this is a question about Russell Martin there, was the fact that in that, especially in that first game where you were in front and you were keeping the ball and looking, I thought looked really good personally. And suddenly it was like every knock, every niggle went down and now I'll take half an hour down here. And it was blatant. And to be frank, it was unneeded, because if you'd have kept playing at the tempo that you guys can play, my God, what a team. And yet it seemed to be kind of...
Who was that player that took forever to get off the pitch when he was being substituted? That was Southampton, wasn't it?
I think it was Stuart Armstrong, from memory.
Right.
He first of all went to go off the wrong side of the pitch. Every team does it. We criticise ourselves when we go, we need to do a bit of shithousery, but don't... Hey, we retain the right to complain about others doing it. If we're not hypocritical here, people, let us know and we should do it more so. It was just one of those times. And suddenly, from Watford's quite a... We can be quite a laid-back crowd, but you know what it's like. That there's two things that will get you going. Suddenly, it's either the team, and let's face it, the last four seasons, it ain't been that much, or a sense of indignation. And it suddenly gave the team and the crowd and a bit of a lift and come on, let's go for it. And yeah, Healy hit it with his left. And to be honest with you, I'm surprised it reached the goal line, let alone got underneath the goalie, because he dived over the top of it. It was very, very unfortunate. But he's had another number of seemingly goals going in that aren't clear goal scoring opportunities for you. So has that been the only Achilles heel, or has the kind of Russell Martin has a sort of plan A is plan A and plan B is basically plan A again? Have you needed that element of swapping it up? Because the team that everybody thought was going to drop away was going to be Ipswich. And of course they invested in the January transfer window and bought in, for example, Kiefer Moore, who is anybody's plan B, really. Go into the box, see what happens. And goes, has the lack of the plan B kind of been instrumental in that, do you think?
Yeah, so I think there's a few things. I think you're right. I think I don't. It's strange because I actually really like Bazunu as a goalkeeper, and yeah. I want him to succeed. He's 22 years old, just turned 22. He is a good goalkeeper. He is just, like you say, susceptible to those moments. And yeah. I think Martin was very strong in defending at the start. There's been a fan forum at the beginning of the season, and someone said, look, who's going to be our number one? We need a new goalkeeper. And Martin basically says, if I was in the market for a goalkeeper, I'd be wanting to sign Gavin Bazunu. So he said, why would I change? He's perfect with his feet. And with his feet, he's perfect. He's excellent. Right. He's the perfect goalkeeper for Ross Martin. And he is a good goalkeeper. He just has a clanger in him, which at 22, you probably expect. But last season, he was thrown in. It was negligent last season to throw him in the Premier League as a number one without any real competition, because he was 20 years old at the start of that season. Highest he'd played was League One, etc. But moving on from the Bazunu thing, I think, like you say, that even that Stuart Armstrong thing that you said about there, not necessarily that per se, but we do just give teams too much encouragement to get back into the game when we should be putting them to bed. Not necessarily you guys, but anyone. The Rotherham game, we could have been 4-5-0 up at half time. And you just know all it takes is one mistake or one little chance come their way, or even a tackle, anything. So the fans feeling wronged, anything exactly. like that. Like you say, we just give teams far too much encouragement. And again, I think Martin as well, for the first time, as well as accepting it's the playoffs, the first time he's really probably criticised our players, not our players, the team, following the draw of Blackburn, where he basically said, happy with a clean sheet, not happy with anything else, because we were really, really poor. And ironically, part of that was because Stuart Armstrong was missing for the first time this season. So he was concussed, but he's back for commentary tomorrow night, and he'll be back for you guys on Saturday. But I think but the other thing is as well, I think Ross Stewart was that plan B.
Yeah.
He's played 17 minutes all season.
The injuries we discussed last time, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. And it's one of those things, if we were to go up, which is a bit of a long shot now, but if we were to go up, I'd be surprised if he ever plays for the club, to be honest, again, because you can't be out for 18 months having played 13 championship games in your career and then expect to be playing Premier League football, I don't think. So I think that's really stung us. A lot of uncertainty. I think we've got a lot of attacking players. We play a front three and we've got a lot of attacking players. And Adam Armstrong has scored 20 goals, got 11 assists. But he's been playing on the right, because when he plays through the middle, we're hopeless, because I don't personally rate Adam Armstrong very highly, but he's scoring our goals. So you've got to play him. But he's better from wide, which means Che Adams has come in and he's been hot and cold as he always is. And there's a lot of will he, won't he in January, because his contract's been running out all season and he's been very non-committal either way. I think it's just that little spark that I think the teams around us have that we sometimes lack. And some of that is because we're trying to do everything perfectly. So you're building through the thirds and you're slow. And when teams sit in against you and you're playing slowly and you don't let them transition against them, not as much Leicester, Leeds and Ipswich in particular, they do score a lot of goals in transition. And they back themselves to go their front three or their front attacking four, sort of five, move surging forwards to go and get them something on the break or something like that. Whereas we just don't have that. I don't think we've scored a goal that counts as a counter-attacking goal all season. So yeah, I think there's a few things. I don't want to pinpoint it down to anything but in particular, but one of the biggest things that really dividing the fan base at the moment and has been for a little while, and something I'm not massively keen on myself as well, is that in that 25 game unbeaten run, Jack Stevens, our captain, was injured for the bulk of that run. And we had a settled back four. Harwood Bellis and Jan Benneret were playing centrally together.
Yep.
They're very good. I think Jan Benneret made a bit of a, Harwood Bellis made a bit of a mistake in the build up to that league goal we conceded against you. But generally speaking, very good. Harwood Bellis is a Premier League player. Carl Walker Peters at right back is a Premier League player. Ryan Manning, maybe less said about him, the better, I think, personally. But what we've been doing since is Russell Martin's been really trying to shoehorn Jack Stevens into the side, and that's really the detriment of the team, I think, because he's been playing first he came in at a right back, which meant Carl Walker Peters was going to left back occasionally, which he can do, but he's better down the right.
Yeah,
you don't necessarily want your best attacking, well, your best player playing out of position to accommodate a centre back playing right back. And then we did, after the international break, when we've had sort of 3 weeks with the Leicester postponement to think about things, he then shifted Harwood Bellis out to right back so that Stevens could partner Jan Benneret at centre back. And then Walker Peters could play left back. So you're moving two people around out of position to accommodate one person. And now is the sort of one that's been the most baffling to fans. And that's that Stevens is now playing left back, but he is playing a sort of hybrid left back centre midfield role where in possession, he becomes a centre midfielder. And it's just not, it's not, Jack Stevens himself is playing fine. His performances are fine. But the job he's been asked to do is just so unsettling for a side that were so good with a sort of normal, sort of conventional back four in a 4-3-3. Everyone knew their jobs. And now it's all just a little bit, again, it's almost taken that happened to be perfect to the nth degree, because if someone transitions against you, you don't have a left back. And then Stevens is slow. Like, he's doing the role perfectly fine. I just don't understand. There's no need for us to have him playing that role. I think it first started when Flynn Downs was out for a couple of weeks because we needed someone in there that could get on the ball. But since Flynn Downs has come back, he doesn't need Stevens there with him. Flynn Downs, for me, is one of the best at what he does, especially in the division. Yeah. And you don't need Stevens, a centre-back, coming in there and taking his space off him, really. And it just, it's strange. And Martin's just doubled down on it. Every time he's asked about it, he says, well, it's not because of that that we're not winning games. And he said there's more scrutiny on it because if we were winning games, it'd be fine. There'd be less scrutiny on it. But the flip side of that is we aren't winning games. There's scrutiny on it because it's the massive change you've made to the team. We've now got, in theory, 7 games to find a team for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Is it suddenly going to fall into place and we're going to be perfect playing like this? The playoffs as well, okay, like more often than not, they're decided by the odd goal. They're very cagey affairs. Do you want to be trying to do something different in the last few games of the season when you could just return to even Ryan Manning at left back, Cole Peters right back, even James Bree, anyone?
And that was going to be the question. That was going to be my question. Yeah. You've got Ryan Manning. Yeah. He knows Ryan Manning from Swansea. He'd chosen to bring him there. And exactly. You're talking about using, as you say, Jack Stevens, who is a centre-back, playing at left-back, then pushing into left midfield, which is what Ryan Manning does exceedingly well. Is it a question of, and don't get me wrong, obviously, it's your manager, so I'm bound to have a bit of a snide at him all the time. Yeah. Is he just over-tinkering?
I think so, yeah, I think so. I think, like you say, I think Ryan Manning's right there. In that 25 I'm being run, I keep referring to, it was Walker Peters, Harbellas, Benarat, Manning or Bree.
Yeah.
So you had 5 players, 4 of which would play each game, and it was very settled, and whoever was playing better out of Bree and Manning would get the shirt for a few games, and it worked and it was fine. Manning is Russell Martin's man. He brought him with him. We all thought he wouldn't really ever be out of favour, and now it's strange because Ryan Manning hasn't featured in the last 3 games. He hasn't even come off the bench in the last 3 games. There's been some baffling things. Carl Walker-Peters was injured since we played Liverpool in the FA Cup in the 5th round after we played you guys, and he'd played every minute of every Championship game until his injury, and then he was fit again for the Easter weekend, and then Ross Martin dropped him for the biggest game of the season against Ipswich. Again, everyone was like, that's a really strange decision. Maybe because he played on Friday, he's just come back from injury, it's because of that. Ross Martin insisted afterwards it was tactical, and I just think it's a bit of a strange one, because I guess if you actually look at Russell Martin, he hasn't really been in this position before. He's been at MK Dons, who he took from a relegation side to a mid-table side, and he did similar at Swansea. I know they got to the edge of playoffs last season, but they weren't there for most of the season. They almost snuck in. I think it's a bit of, and don't get me wrong, it's almost harsh because it is such a strong season at the top of the Championship. I don't think we've really seen a season like it, especially not in recent memory, where three, maybe include us in that, but 3 sides have been so good, and we're maybe most seasons we'd probably be there or thereabouts for second at least. But this season, it's just the quality is so high of those top three. And obviously we've played Ipswich away and lost, and we've got to go to Leicester away and Leeds away last game of the season, I think. So there's a lot of things, but I just think Martin has overthought it. And I kind of worry now about these 7 games because it's been limbo now. And it's, what do you do? Do you try and find that form again and get some momentum? Do you rest some key players here and there where you can because you want them fit and fresh? Like, how do you go about that? It's a difficult one. We've got a game every 3 days on average, I think. So
yeah, because you've got the two games. Exactly. So. You've got the 2 games in hand. If you won those 2 games in hand, you would be 5 points behind Leeds with, as you say, still to come and play them on the last game of the season. When we spoke to Leeds, they were eyeing that even then quite nervously. And you can understand now why, because obviously that everybody in that area is going to have a blip. Obviously, the clever money looks at this and says, well, out of those 3 teams, one of them isn't going to make it. One of them cannot make it. And therefore, they're going to be doing that kind of oh, right, now we've got to go again for the three games that will make up the playoff semi-final and then the eventual final. And I think in some ways you can look at it, and if Russell Martin had turned around and said, well, you know, no, I don't think we're going to get there even with the games in hand, you can at least kind of plan for that. The difficulty with that is you've got those two games and then you've got opportunities to take points. So it's tantalizingly there, but it's a difficult one. I would suggest you almost come off the gas, especially versus Watford, obviously, but never mind. That may be me talking with vested self-interest. Who knows?
Hi, this is Nigel Gibbs, and you're listening to the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
That's it. That's enough about finding out about Russell Martin. We're certainly not going to be disparaging him anymore. We've done absolutely enough of that, I'm sure. But I think it's definitely time where the rubber hits the road.
DNSYE, completely rubbish prediction league.
No, God, please, no, no!
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, it's back. Now, obviously, we are recording as we speak, 2 days ahead of the Ipswich game, so we don't know what's happened there. However, we have had three draws on the spin. Prior to this three-game draw spin, Carlos was at the top of the leader table. But here is the leader table as we speak now, and he's down in third place because 1-1 prediction.
Look at 1-1, would you? Would you just look at 1-1? Hey, this is why, Peter, I went with 1-1 last season as being a good prediction. And look what's top of the league.
As an audio podcast, let me explain to the good listeners why Justin is having a shit fit. Basically, at the start of this season, the very last knockings, I removed the possibility of a 1-1 being there. And 1-1 now currently sits atop of the table. Basically, aside of it, 1-1 is JP Backgammon FC, because John got another 3 points. Ironically, because Nick and Chris in the feathers, and if you haven't seen that video, have a look at that. Basically, watch two bewildered Americans have John going, no, 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 roll the dice, and this is what you're going to do. And they go, what are we doing? And they got it. They got 0-0. And Carlos, who let's be honest, against Ipswich, he's gone Ipswich 14, Watford 13. Don't think he's in with a great deal chance of forecasting the right result there. That may have had something to do with the aforementioned previous drinking and euphoria. So he's on 34 points. And then we come down to what is still the mid-table challenge between the EFL, who is represented by Fraser today, obviously on behalf of Southampton, but also on behalf of the EFL, and Justin, both on 25 points, have been refusing to be separated for a little while. And then you've got Jarvis Cocker Spaniel, who picked up 2 points because he forecasted what he described as a Desmond 3-3. We all know there's no such thing, but, you know, he's a dog, what can you do? And artificial stupidity is being cut adrift at the bottom on 21 points, because actually, when you look at that, Jarvis Cocker Spaniel has come up to that mid-table opportunity. He could nick fourth now. 25 points. Good. Who knows? Anyway. So we are yet to obviously have an advice of a scoreline from Carlos, because he's not a well bunny, and we don't know. He may be hungover. Who knows? These are things we may need to look out for. However, John, McGammon FC, has looked at this today, and I think he's looking for some kind of, as we face the Saints, he's looking for some kind of spiritual inspiration. Let's see if he finds it.
Predictions League, and it's Southampton versus Watford. The Saints.
Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned, and I brought a terrible curse on Watford. We have a 600-year Nigerian curse. How can I get rid of this? Argino, do not worry. You've done some very good things. You brought back Dennis Blessing. You have Tom in as coach, and I've now blessed him, and he's become a saint. And all you need to do now is beat the Lucifer that is Russell Martin this week.
Oh, no, we've done it again.
And all will be forgiven, and the curse will be lifted. Ah, thank you, Father. I will do that. Well, the dice are on the pitch. We're ready to go. The fake Saints to go first.
Fake Saints? That's a bit off, isn't it?
Oh, and that's 6 minus 3. And that's 3 to the Saints. Can Tom Saints do this?
Going to exploit Jack Stevens at left.
Oh, he lost a dice. Have to throw another one in. Oh, and it's 6 minus 2. It's 4. So it's 3. Southampton 3. For 4. St. Thomas done it. Curse lifted. Let's go next season. We're going up. Get in, boys.
Well, there we go.
Yeah.
We've canonised Tom Cleverley, which, bearing in mind he'd won one game and drawn three, I'll be honest with you, I think the Vatican may be asking for the kind of the threshold for canonisation to go up a little bit, really. That's barely legend status.
That was at All Saints Church near us, right, in Crossley.
That was quite
a nice touch.
That was Chorley Wood, surely. That was the All Saints in Chorley Wood. Chorley Wood Common. Where doth John go and walk his dog?
You might be right. Okay.
But Fraser's sitting there going, nice. Oh, this is great. They're all debating how many All Saints clubs there are.
There's quite a few All Saints churches around our area. So little use of Monty Python there as well, which is quite good.
Excellent.
But yeah, well done, John. Your enthusiasm and your drive for these things is undiminishing. So God bless you. Yeah, interesting. So I think his position towards the top of the table may be loosened with that prediction. A 3-4 does sound a little bit unlikely, I would say. But you never know. You never know, do you? I'm in competition with a dog predicting stuff. So,
That's true. That's true. Anyway, well, we'll have to wait for... Hold on. Who's at the door? Oh, right. Okay. So what are you going for then?
The Dell. Bobby Stokes. Mick Shannon. Kevin Keegan. Alan Shearer. Matt Lettice. Gareth Bale. Super Kev. But we'll always have this. Come on, you horns!
Let's have your prediction for the Saints then, please.
What are you
going for? What are you going for? Get down. Go on, pick away.
There we go. We've got it here down here. Southampton 1.
And now your prediction for Watford, please, buddy. What are you going for?
Come on.
Oh, it was a 2. Southampton 1. Watford 2.
Sorry, can we just cut the music, please? It's another one of those VAR moments, I'm afraid. When I look back on the footage, I saw that Jarvis had, in fact, knocked the number 3 onto the number 1. So the real score and Jarvis's prediction is, on this occasion, Southampton 3, Watford 2. Hello, it's me again. We have a second score correction. It was noted that in Jarvis's prediction for the Watford score, his paw actually touched the number 5 before his snout touches the number 2. So the real prediction is now Southampton 3, Watford 5. Cue the music!
There we go. And now the dog's gone. So now we know what that is. Anyway, so let's turn to Fraser, representing the EFL. What figures do you, what scoreline are you, one, thinking about, hoping for, but most importantly, what are you predicting when Watford come to St. Mary's on Saturday? Is it going to be a repeat of the FA Cup when we came down there? What do you think it's going to do?
I don't think quite the repeat of the FA Cup. I think I'm trying to turn around and be positive. I've still gone a bit flat, but I'm trying to be positive. So I'm gonna say we'll hopefully win on Tuesday, and then we'll beat you 2-1 at our place. So I'm gonna go 2-1.
Ooh, wow, 2-1. Okay, this is good. Random Nonsense has gone 2-1 to Watford, so that's good. We've got something in there. We'll have to see, obviously, what Carlos does when he finally comes back into the land of the living. But Justin, what do you think the score's going to be against the Saints?
Yeah, I wasn't that convinced. So we haven't seen Ipswich yet because we're recording this pre-Ipswich, but I wasn't that convinced with the Preston game. I think that was one of the most boring games I've ever seen. The fact that I probably bored Louis to death with all sorts of others. He sits there very patiently, bless him. He sits there very patiently pretending he's enthused by what I'm saying. Inside, I think he's dying. But yeah, so
in the ground, which is a start. He's next to you, which is a second place, so definitely.
Yes, this is true. I think this could be our first defeat, or perhaps our second defeat under Tom, because I don't think we're going to beat Ipswich. So let's go for a 1-0 Southampton.
Oh, wow. Okay, so we are forecasting for the Saints to do the one. How likely are we to be kept out? Because I appreciate you kept a clean sheet against us in the FA Cup, but to be honest with you, that night I think I'd have kept a clean sheet against the Watford front line. Have you been open to goals beyond the problems that obviously your keepers had? How robust are you in the back line?
I think Saturday was our first clean sheet in 9 or 8 So we've been pretty porous since, I think we beat Huddersfield 5-3 at the start of February, the last game of our sort of unbeaten run. And then since then, we've conceded, I think, about 19-9. So averaging about two a game, just over two a game. And we beat Birmingham 4-3, we beat Sunderland 4-2, and then we've lost 3-2 and to Ipswich and various results. So we're not particularly solid at the back right now, should we say. And dare I say that coincides with the Jack Stevens left-back experiment, but Russell Martin wouldn't like me saying that. But
There we go. Hold on a second. Here we go. There's a bit of applause for Fraser for coming back and winning the argument later. I like that. That's a nice touch.
He did. Now, what can I say? We've got Bio and Dennis up front with Jamal Lewis supposedly knocking the balls in. So, yeah, we're not going to score any goals, are we? It's just, yeah.
I was going to say, sorry, I know I should probably know this, but how has Dennis been since he's gone back?
Well, he scored a few goals, but the hyperbolic welcome that he had from the comms at Watford, which was, you'd have thought that Jesus had walked in and healed the sick and raised the dead and walked on water. It was far too much over the top. If you're going to go by that, then he's been an absolute washout. But if you ignore that, I would say he's been below average, would be my honest assessment of Dennis. I just don't think he's a great player. I really don't. I didn't really think that first time round. We had him and he was pretty good for... Why are you shaking your head, Peter?
Utter piffle. He is a potentially superb player, basically in the personality of an arsehole at times. No, he was unfit when he came to us, so he took an awful long time to get fit. We got told he hadn't played games. So when we drew with you guys, when you got your late equaliser against us in the cup, and we went, oh, bugger. And then most people went, oh, well, at least there's a game that Dennis can go to. Because I think he came on for about 5 minutes against you guys and was like, you could see how unfit he was. He desperately needed games. We'd been told he'd been training since November, and the only thing he needed was games. And then they said, he's not going to come down to the FA Cup replay. He's going to stay back and do more training again. So he's taken a long time to get fit. He's still probably only got about 60 minutes in him. He's the one player who, when he plays up front, has actually got a bit of a live wire element to him, but he's looking like he is half crocked, basically. When he played on Saturday, he was very disappointing, but he got the goal against
Birmingham. If I may, Peter, would you, sorry about this, Fraser.
No, we're going to have a piffle argument. I like this.
I thought they were going to stand,
didn't I? Well done, well done.
Would you extend his loan or buy him at the end of the season, or would you be quite glad to see him go?
I think financially there is no way we could buy him. Full stop. No way.
But we might be able to extend his loan. Would you?
If there was some kind of charitable excuse and we could have him from a pre-season and get him properly fit there at a level that we could afford, I don't see an absolute glut of centre forwards or attacking players who can really go and help us affordably more than he can. The one player I would have I'd take from you guys though, there, Fraser, is Sekou Mara. He looks a bundle of fun. I think he looks probably about as close to him. But yeah, no, I'd go with Dennis if we could. You would.
You'd actually go with that, would you? Because I'd be happy to send him back to Forest and never see him play for Watford again and try and look at better options than Emmanuel Dennis. I just don't think he's a good option. I don't rate him.
Okay. Oh, right. I'm very happy to do that. I gave you Sekou Mara. Who are you going to come up with as the alternative option?
Oh, you always do this. You're always going to say, who are you going to have instead? You can't. That's not the point. The point is that the transfer window opens in whenever it is, August or July, and then we can start looking at options. Then we can see who's available. But I just don't rate him. I just don't think he's, honestly, I think it's...
The thing is, every time we talk about this, you always go back to, yes, absolutely, the hyperbole that came out when we joined him was a little bit over the top because he was the only person we signed in January, and I think it was a question of, let's make what we can of it. And I appreciate because Justin works in social media and does a great job on our social media sites all the time. We do heavy sarcasm, as you can imagine, and I agree that was way out. And then we got him and went, ah, right, there's a reason you haven't played since November at all, and he's taken a long time to get to where he is. To say that he wasn't good when we had him previously with 10 goals and 6 assists in the Premier League playing for a Watford side
that all came right at the beginning of the season, it didn't.
He scored 2 goals after January when he was stopped going to the African Nation Cup of Nations, and we'd also got Ranieri, and we'd also got Roy Hodgson, and the whole team and the whole club was in the absolute toilet heading downwards. So I think, and I always come back to Rich WFC2, currently basically looking at about the 18th fjord of the afternoon while he's coming back apparently into Southampton on Saturday on his cruise, and his wife's not letting him go at the game. Well done, Mrs. WFC2, that's it. But his phrase was always, Emmanuel Dennis makes things happen. And that's what he does. That's what he does. But anyway, we'll need to see what Carlo... Oh, hold on. There's somebody at the door again.
Right, score prediction from me, from a poorly Carlos. I am going to say Southampton will nick it. I'm going to go Southampton 1, Watford 0. Hope the dog hasn't done the same as me.
So there we have it. There's all the results there. We will see what happens because people have gone for draws. People have gone for Southampton wins and some people have even gone for Watford wins.
Scratch your eyes. You do not. Rubbish this prediction league is.
Well, there we go. There we go. It is, of course, an away game. So we have to turn. We have to turn because there's a new segment that we've put in since we spoke to you last, Fraser, for away games. And, oh, it's exciting. It's called...
It's Justin's somewhat disappointing local attraction segment.
So there we go, Justin.
Yes, thank you. So when I put Southampton in, things to do in Southampton, the first thing it suggested I did was go to the Isle of Wight, which I thought was a little bit unfriendly to Southampton. Yeah, no, not great. So I've gone for the Brickworks Museum. That's one of nine things to do in Burlesdon. Is that near Southampton, Burlesdon? Is that far away?
Burlesdon, I think, is... Not sure I would go to Burlesdon myself.
Brickworks Museum, though, okay.
Well, yeah, maybe, if you're into bricks and stuff like that.
Well, some people are into bricks, some people aren't into bricks. To look at some of the reviews here, this comes from China Cup from Southampton, who headlines his review, Depressing Day Out. He says, the cafe's terrible, hot drinks in paper cups and sandwiches that look like paste sandwiches on white bread that your mum used to shove in your school lunchbox on a skint week. The cost of these wartime sandwiches was £2.50. So he wasn't really all that on the cafe at the Brickworks Museum. And somebody else was also quite scared about it. This was, bear with me a second while I bring it up because I've just lost it. This was Clouser from Winchester. Visited last weekend for the event, was really disappointed with the museum. I think the admission charges were very expensive for what was included. My children were upset to hear that the two small train rides at the entrance and the make a brick activity were charged as an extra, as I refused to pay for them, having just paid for the admission tickets. There you go, dad of the year right there. So there you go, that's the Brickworks Museum in, I will now say this correctly, I think I said that correctly this time. That's Swanwick Lane, Swanwick, Burlesdon, Southampton, SO317GW. There you go.
England, presumably, which is good.
And yes, it's in England. Yes.
Not on the Isle of Wight. Not so. Sorry.
No, you say have things to do in Southampton, and it goes Isle of Wight. You go right. Okay, fine.
Okay. Oh well, you know what he said about Hull. It sent everybody to Leeds and York, which Hull took very personally. I thought, which is quite funny.
Like that, didn't
they? Brickworks. Is this all that it is? It's just basically, here we are, make a brick.
The height of Victorian industrial innovation, 125 years of brick history under one roof. Visit to the Brickworks Museum invokes the sights, smells and sounds of life in Victorian Britain. Explore how our favourite building material was made and the lives of people who worked so hard to make it happen.
The height of innovation for Victorian England. I think the rocket might have an argument to go with that, as opposed to the brick, which I would imagine has been around since Mesopotamia.
Yes, but this particular attraction would rather you went and looked at their bricks rather than trying to find Stevenson's rocket, which I think is in the York Train Museum.
Oh, actually, you see, everything points to York in this thing. Well, there we go. Indeed. Well, there's Justin's somewhat disappointing local attraction segment. And I'll be honest with you, I put that somewhere mid-table. Probably not good as the Monkey Forest, or indeed, last week we found out about, for Wednesday, anybody going to go and see the alpaca farm. And then that was raised with a brown bear. That was very, very good. But probably better than the Chartered Accountant somewhere near Millwall. Fraser, if we have Watford fans coming to Southampton and they've got a couple of hours to spare, perhaps, is there any better place you think that Southampton could offer of interest prior to the game?
Well, I'll be honest, there's not loads down there. Yeah, if you want an away pub, Yates is the away pub. I don't know if that appeals, but other than that, there's not a huge amount near the grounds. To be honest, it's a bit dull. Maybe the Brickworks is the best we've got to offer. I don't know, but.
Well, you could always wait.
I might be forgetting something really good, but I can't think of anything at the moment.
You could always wave Rich WFC and his wife off the gangplank, ask them how their cruise was.
This is true. You could go and welcome them back.
We've got the boats. Yeah, you can go and see the boats if you want. Marina's quite nice. It's all right. Go to the marina, do that.
There we are. There's Fraser on behalf of the Southampton Tourist Board, everybody. That's excellent stuff. There we go.
Yeah.
Wonderful stuff. Right, yes, let's let Fraser go. And thank him very much for his time coming on the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast. podcast. I doubt we'll be doing this again next season. We might be, but you might be in a different league, perhaps. So if you are unlucky enough to still be in the Championship, then we'll catch up with you next season. But in the meantime, Fraser, thank you very much for coming on Do Not Scratch Your Eyes.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
Brilliant stuff.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around, you've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.